And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon, I'm delighted to say, our poet Elizabeth Burke and photographer Leo Touchette. They are here to talk about a beautiful book of poetry and photography that they have been working on for quite some time now. It was just recently published by Yellow Flag Press, a local press. It is just lovely. We'll also be talking about their work together as well as separately. We have a gorgeous book here that Leo Touchette created, compiling photographs from his entire life as a photographer, just beautiful people among us. Some people in our listening audience may remember that there was an exhibit at the Acadiana Center for the Arts last year, 2017, of Leo's work called People Among Us. And Liz, you put together a reading. I think you were just so inspired by a form of poetry that really, I don't know if it's a Leo's photography that really inspired you to do that, but you felt like it would be a wonderful collaboration for people to see the photographs and to hear poetry that was created in response to the photographs. And as we were talking about before we went on the air, that's a form of art called ekphrastic poetry. And it can be different art forms describing another art form. But in the case of the reading, of course, it was poetry describing Leo's work. And you gathered together six poets, including yourself. It was called Image to Word. I had the great honor to be there and help to introduce the poems and the poets. An incredible evening. It was packed. It was overflowing, I think, in that room. You had over 300 people who were there to honor and enjoy the photography and to see what you all had created. Can you mention the poets who were there that evening, Liz?
Sure. Daryl Bork, Gennaro Keeley-Smith, Sandra Saar, Sidney Crayon, Patrice Melnick, and
quite a pantheon of poets there.
They're all great poets.
Yes, who were being inspired by Leo's work. So I'd like to hear just a bit about your lives before we go and talk about your life together. You are married. And you have traveled many paths and countries in order to arrive together here in South Louisiana. I think you're originally from Louisiana, Leo?
I'm from Abbeville.
Okay, Bayville.
I left there in 57. I joined the Army just to get out of town.
Right.
But I came back.
It's hard not to, isn't it? We know so many people who make that big circle back. But you had an interest in photography at a very young age, and it actually came from another military member of your family.
Well, a combination of things. When I was 6 years old, I had an uncle who came back from the Pacific Theater in World War II, and I would have been about six or so. And he had the boxes of photographs that he showed me of things happening in the Pacific Theater. And I was always fascinated, not so much by the photography at that time, but the idea of travel. And so after that, I always wanted to travel. So it was in my mind from day one.
And you didn't want to just travel. You wanted to show other people what you encountered when you traveled.
Well, that came later. It came later. I didn't start photographing until I was 25. Although I did have photography experience in high school. I was a high school photographer in the days of speed graphics and screw-on flash bulbs.
Right.
Long time ago. But, no, I started photographing at 25 and became a photojournalist and worked for numerous publications and then later companies and what have you to survive. It was a tough way to make a living.
Well, you've done pretty much everything. Just looking at your bio in the world of photography, I mean, photojournalism, corporate photography, work in the Army, high school. You've covered the gamut, you know. But it seems like it really interested you to show people, as you say, on the street. You loved that idea of encountering people just do in their daily lives.
Well, street photography is always my passion. I used everything else I did for photography to make money to go do street photography. And the consequence of it was I was around some great photographers in New York, and I learned a lot from them. And I wanted to be one of them. And so that's what I did. I bought a plane ticket to Vietnam at the time and took off.
Well, we are really grateful that you came to collect all of those photographs, because There are quite a number of photojournalists whose works just kind of, you know, it's of the moment, and it doesn't get collected, and people don't get to enjoy it and see it.
That happened to me as well. When the digital age, I lost all my ability to make money in photography, make a living out of it. And then about 3 years ago, Elton John bought some of my photographs. And that sort of re-sparked the whole ball game again.
That is, we could do an entirely another interview about that, couldn't we?
That was basically a series of photographs on jazz funerals. I did a book on jazz funerals a few years ago, and LSU Press published a book.
Right, and some of your photographs are from the 60s, I believe.
People Among Us is all across the whole spectrum. Right. The jazz funerals were 68 to about 70.
An amazing time. That was an incredibly authentic moment in New Orleans.
That was the end of the old traditional funerals.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Beautiful. My guest, Leo Touchette, photographer. He has worked with his wife, Elizabeth Burke, on Duet, poet and photographer. But he has a book, People Among Us, which is a collection of his work that he's done over the years, as well as a beautiful book called Dunes that we'll mention a little bit later on.
Chasing Shadows. Yes.
And then, of course, the Jazz Funerals book. Yeah. Now, Liz, you did not start off wanting to write poetry at the age of six.
No.
Leo really got interested in photography. No. You actually are a licensed therapist.
Yes, I'm a psychologist.
Psychologist. Mm-hmm. And I believe you still have a practice.
I do. It's
in
sort
New
of
York.
Minimal at this point. Okay. And I do some of it by phone because I'm here a great deal of the time.
The poet psychologist.
Yeah.
So you weren't... I have spoken to a couple therapists whose work has actually been inspired by their practice, but you didn't start to write poetry, actually, until you met Leo.
Yeah, I think that probably there's a reason for that, because being with Leo kind of challenges you to be creative, and I could use the word inspires, but I think it's more like a challenge.
I don't think they're mutually exclusive.
No, probably not.
Are they?
Probably not.
Well, in addition to Leo's... being Leo and his work, his very interesting work. He was also from South Louisiana.
Yes.
And you have written about that, haven't you?
Yes.
In fact, I think your first book might have been about...
It was called Learning to Love Louisiana.
Right, right.
And it was a compilation of poems I had written about meeting Leo, about visiting Louisiana, about looking at the landscape, which was totally foreign to me. I mean, my first poem was Learning to Love Louisiana, and I think the first line in it was, "Where are the mountains?" And, of course, Leo said, "I never saw you climb a mountain." I said, "That's beside the point."
They're supposed to be on the horizon, you know?
You like being surrounded by them.
Well, and yes, it's almost like some Mars rover or something, isn't it, coming into this space?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very different.
It was very different.
Yeah, New York City,
especially.
Yeah,
New York City.
Yeah. So Learning to Love Louisiana really is a collection of poems that just, I guess, bubbled forth. You just needed to be able to write about this place, about this relationship.
Right.
How did you find your poetic voice? I mean, that's something that people work a long time on. You know that... What were your models? How did you begin writing the poems?
That's hard to describe, because I really wasn't even a fan of poetry before I started writing it. I think I might have started reading it at the same time I started writing it. And I had a patient in one of my practices, a poet from Sarah Lawrence, and she brought me two books, one by Mary Oliver and one by Billy Collins, and I found them extremely readable. Mm-hmm. They weren't obscure. In addition to that, when I started to write, I did some memoir, I did some creative nonfiction, but I realized I didn't have the attention span, and poetry fit totally right into the framework of, you know, being focused, and you wrote something and you were done. Now, I'm a storyteller by nature, so I write mostly narrative poetry, and at first I started to write. I didn't know anything about line breaks, so I just had to go to workshops. I went to a lot of workshops to learn how to craft my stories.
But obviously, something about the medium felt just right to you.
It did.
Even though
yeah.
you hadn't discovered it
yeah.
until you were older, until you met Leo, it just felt outright, whether it was to tell those stories or a particular – I mean, obviously, there are very different types of forms of poetry. And
yes.
You don't have to have line breaks if you don't
– No, you can do prose poetry,
yes,
it turns
right.
out.
Exactly, yeah. So how did you – when did you start thinking of yourself as a poet? Was it when you first saw that book in your hand, the published book, or –
Probably, you know.
Did you give poetry readings?
I did. I mean, not readings. I read with groups of people for the most part. And I gave some readings, and I was scared to death when I first got up there, but I kind of got used to it. I had to groom myself to do it. I had mm-hmm. I sat with some people and learned how to read. But, yeah, it was a challenge to write poetry. It's very different than writing an essay, and the crafting of it is it's just at first I balked at editing and revising. Now I love it. Now I can go into my files. Sometimes I forget what I wrote or see a poem. I say, that's not bad, but it could use some work. And I revise and I revise and I revise.
Mm. Well, you know, listening to you read at the poetry reading, Image to Word,
mm-hmm.
you would never know that you hadn't been a poet all of your life.
Thank you.
And that you had not been giving readings since you were in high school. You were extremely poised and
Thank
practiced,
you.
And it was a lovely reading. So your first book was about learning to love Louisiana, and that obviously had a purpose, and you had a need to write these poems. The poems that are in Duet, I mean, are they from your oeuvre? I mean, did you go into your files, or did you all – because I find this very interesting, this
mm-hmm.
process, the two
mm-hmm.
of you. Leo's a photographer, very much into images. You like stories. You like words. But at some point, it became evident to you that you could either write about what he was doing, you could merge your art forms. When did that start to take shape?
Well, I think the first time that we thought about it, I don't know if you remember this, he has a book called The Jazz Funerals, and there was who wrote the
Ellis Marsalis and
Vernell.
Vernell Begnaris wrote the text.
And there's a very beautiful, but it's very minimal text. And I remember talking to him about maybe writing some poetry to some of the photographs, and particularly the dunes photographs. But that was a challenge because they are totally abstract.
No story to the dunes.
There's no evidence story. I mean, it's very dreamlike. It's very hard to tell a story to it. So that was a challenge. That's probably when we first started to think about it.
About the book, yes.
About doing something. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But I wrote them, and they were so just disjointed and fragmented, I hid them away in a folder.
But you must not have stopped.
I didn't stop.
Yeah.
Oh, no, because then when we started to think about actually putting a book together, which I think after Leo saw me read in Lake Charles and he understood what ekphrastic poetry mm-hmm. was, we started to talk about the possibility of putting a book together. So I would say that more than half of these poems were actually inspired by the photographs. But a lot of them were poems that I had in some version. And sometimes I showed him a poem and he would say, I have just the photograph to go with that.
Okay.
So it was really a very interactive
mm-hmm.
process.
So he was doing something ekphrastic there too.
Yes.
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 He just didn't know that.
Unbeknownst to him.
That's right. Ekphrastic and you didn't know it. but so you continued with that effort. Something felt good to you about ekphrastic efforts, looking at an image, looking
yes.
at
yes.
What Leo had created and creating something in response to it, or discovering that something you had already made did fit with an image.
Yeah.
Because you did put the reading together, and it was an incredibly successful reading. People
Thank
loved
you.
It. The poets were so excited to
yeah.
be responding to Leo's
yeah.
work as well.
Yeah.
And that was an inspiring evening, I think, for many, many people.
Thank you.
If you are just tuning in, my guests are poet Elizabeth Burke and photographer Leo Touchette. They are engaged on many levels. They are married. They've also created a beautiful book together called Duet, Poet and Photographer, just recently published by Yellow Flag Press. And it has been an interesting journey, as you can hear, how they actually came to start the book, create the book, and actually finish it. So it was an interesting process because even though you all saw the potential in it, you're a writer, you love words, Leo's a photographer, a photojournalist, and so your ideas about publication and what should go in a publication were quite different. And I think you had slightly different versions of how things should go in the book. So I'm going to ask Leo first, because his version didn't end up in that. What was your thought when you looked at the photographs that you all had been talking about? What did you think about?
Well, I was in after Lake Charles, where I saw her reading for a painting she was written about. And after that, the idea was always there. We didn't coordinate until later. Mm-hmm. But it was a good idea, because I had thousands of images that could be used in whatever way, shape, or form.
Right.
And so then we started, we can't remember which time period it all started.
It's all flow. It's a flow, yes.
But it finally we decided to do the book, and with the help of Jay Bruce Fuller, I ended up designing the book, and she and Jay worked on the literary aspect of it. I worked on the graphic end.
Right, we should say that. You actually did design
the book
itself.
Yes. We're
thinking more about the order of the poetry and the images. Yeah.
No, the order was basically decided by she and Bruce.
Okay, all right. So you had strong graphic input, which of course goes with
my background.
Yes, your background and your interest in image. So how did you go about thinking about the order of these poems? Because there wasn't a theme especially.
No, that's
It wasn't like the Dunes book or the Jazz Funerals
mm-hmm.
book. So what did you think about? I mean, this is essentially a book of poetry that you have to order. So.
Yeah, I had a great deal of difficulty sequencing this, mm-hmm. and we asked several people, because you could sequence it either on the photographs, which I had absolutely no idea about, since I'm not graphically and imagistically kind of challenged.
Even though it tugs on your heart and you respond to it.
I love the pictures, but I did really not know how to order them. Mm-hmm. So I had some things in mind. I didn't want to clump all the – well, if I looked at the photos, I didn't want to clump all the flower photos together or all the dune photos, because I wanted some movement between them. And then I wanted – at first I thought, I'll take all the themes and put them together. And there are some themes, because I guess I'm what attracted me in terms of looking at his photographs, I realized I was attracted to some of the aging people aging. Well, you know, it's given my age, it's
they also have fascinating faces.
Fascinating faces, yes. And from all over the planet.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
That's something that interested me, and I found myself writing poems on some of the images of the older people. Then I also had some themes on religion, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to, you know, bunch all those together mm-hmm, mm-hmm. or to spread them out. I really can't tell you at this moment.
Well, you know, and it's interesting.
we decided.
I was looking through it and looking at poems I might want you to read, and for you to say it was the faces that really, really interested you,
yes.
The two poems I chose and the photographs, I think I'm very drawn to landscape
yes.
photographs, one towards the beginning of the book and the second towards the end. But the fact that you are both drawn to Louisiana, you perhaps through Leo, but
definitely.
That you make a home here
mm-hmm.
and you're very the landscape does resonate with
mm-hmm.
you. I would like you to read Hush Over Atchafalaya. That accompanies
okay.
a photograph, Leo, that
from,
is set where?
Near Lake Dautrive. It was
Lake
on Dautrive. Lake Dautrive.
Very iconic looking, very Louisiana. We all recognize.
Cypress trees
and moss and just Ooh. Lovely. And did you write this poem for this photograph, or did you write it at another time?
I actually wrote this at another time. This is in my chapbook, Hush Over Louisiana, Hush Over Atchafalaya. And I had another photograph to go with this. So we had a bit of a duel in terms of, but I just had to defer to him because he's got the artist eye, and he said this was and this is a lovely photograph.
And this says hush to me in the same way your poem does. So, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is poet Elizabeth Burke reading Hush Over Atchafalaya from their new book, Duet.
Hush Over Atchafalaya. Beyond the ragged camp, a sagging wooden plank stretches back into the swamp. It is barely dusk. Heat melts from the day. The moisture clings. A weathered outboard motor murmurs its way through the murky waters of the bayou. A white heron on the shore watches, still as dawn. Dragonflies hover above. two baby beavers peer from their hiding place inside a hollow log. Around a bend, the river widens. Massive tree trunks rise from the water. Ancient limbs hang heavy with moss. Alligators glide by. Grinning jaws skim the water surface, their scaly bodies submerged. Silvery cypress stumps poke through stagnant waters like fixed bayonets, ghosts of a forgotten war. In the river's reflections, a hidden universe beckons as the boat slips through the channel, leaving no trace.
That's a fascinating thing about ekphrastic poetry, because some people might initially think, oh, well, you just describe the piece of art. But that's not what it is, is it? It is, even if it's you create it for or you choose it to go with, it's something about a feeling or a response mm-hmm. to that work.
Mm-hmm.
And just like a duet isn't, you're not just mirroring the person.
Exactly.
There's a harmony that goes with
this
it.
This is probably a mixture of all the images of when I first saw the bayou.
Mm-hmm,
I think you took me down to the Atchafalaya Swamp, and I was just absolutely mesmerized
mm-hmm,
by the
mm-hmm.
images of the moss, so, the hanging
right,
moss,
right, mm-hmm,
the silvery mm-hmm. stumps that came out. It was just beautiful.
Right. But what's so interesting to me, you're both creating the same feeling, but you're using a lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
And Leo's image is so clear, so pure, so simple, but it does the same thing. He doesn't have to have all of these images in that to give us the same feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what a lovely dance you all have created.
Well, we hope one sort of inspires and adds to the other.
Absolutely. Leo?
No, I thought you were going to read another one.
Yes, I do. We're going to get to that. And actually, it is the one that concludes the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I guess, a photograph that is in your
It's a photograph of sand dunes in Venezuela.
Right. Okay.
It's in the dunes of Coro.
Right. You do dunes of North and South America.
Yes. Yes. I started photographing dunes. Mm-hmm. I was married to a woman from Venezuela.
Oh, okay.
And I was down there, so she asked me to take pictures of the dunes for her.
Well, they are lovely and very poetic. Before we get to that poem, I did want to ask you, Liz, because mm-hmm. there are quite a number of poems in here. I really couldn't have you read over the air because they're quite racy,
some
actually.
Of them.
And it struck me in many ways, I don't think it's the therapist coming out in you, but in connection with some of these photographs of faces that Leo has taken over his life, you did tell stories. You created
mm-hmm.
stories
mm-hmm.
of some of these inner lives that you have imagined or you've heard other people relay. So how was that process, matching up either a poem you've already written or looking at those faces? How did you feel making up something about a person's face like that? That was a really interesting part of this book to me, and the combination of a face of the old woman sitting
yes.
in a boat, or the old woman who's dressed herself.
Oh.
That was a lovely
yes.
one. The woman who is all dressed up, ready to go. She looks like she's in her 90s.
Silk paisley and pearls.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think
yeah.
you might have read that for the reading.
I don't think I did.
Okay.
No.
It's so striking.
No.
How do you feel about that? I mean, first of all, trying to make something up about a person's face, you feel like you are entering into her world, and
you do, you yeah. do. But you always bring something of yourself. It's
yes.
these. Sometimes it's. I feel like it's a Rorschach that you look at, especially with
the
abstract.
Therapist
talking.
Well, yep.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Especially with the abstract mm-hmm. paintings, mm-hmm. Photographs. In this case, with the old lady, the older, elderly lady.
Mm-hmm.
She reminded me of some of my relatives, mm-hmm. and I wrote it in the third person, and then I sent it to Jay because sometimes he edited, and, you know, as a sort of a mentor. He said, Liz, write it in the first person. And I thought, well, I'm not that old. But it came out better.
Mm-hmm.
I entered into her,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of what you have to do. You enter into the persona of, mm-hmm. of the image that you're writing about.
You know, as you're talking, it must have been I was so struck by that photograph in the exhibit that it's almost as if something had been written about it. That's what's striking me.
Well, in photographing old people, it's the other side of it as well.
Yeah.
Because basic to me, those are the lines of wisdom in history.
Yeah, they are.
It's a,
Well, again, I want to tell people my guests are photographer Leo Touchet and poet Elizabeth Burke. They have just created the book Duet, Poet and Photographer, published by Yellow Flag Press. You can find out more about these books at your website.
My website, www.leotouchet.com.
Okay, and this new book, Duet, there's information on it there, as well as your other books that we have mentioned.
Right. Yes.
And I think Yellow Flag Press may have a website.
Yeah, I've also mentioned Yellow Flag Press on my website.
They may have a website. And I did choose that last poem in the book.
Mm-hmm.
You could get this book for just the photographs, just the poetry, but the dance is extraordinary between the two of them. And they come from different places. Again, some you wrote specifically for them.
Mm-hmm.
Some are poems you wrote before, and they just meld so beautifully. This photograph is from the Dunes book, Leo, that you mentioned.
Yes, it's from the, Chasing Shadows.
Chasing Shadows. And this is the final poem and image in the book. It's called Horizon, and I was wondering if you could read it, Liz.
Sure. Horizon. It seemed as though a window slid open onto a buzzing void, singing songs as fresh as seedlings, sprouting stars as old as dust, in dreams that drifted, lost in a pirogue, dreams that slumbered, remained in dusk until we were born. There was an ember, a reverie debut, a déjà vu, that continued, and then a sandbox, whose grains mingled and chirped, and there were birds and burdens born each instant, reveling in and reviling the muddy earth, grouty mountains, ice that slid from mittens, knitted and carefully knotted to not unravel on tiny hands, and lizards and ants and the holy family of step-uncles and cousins who came to celebrate the mournful tide, the oceans sweeping the sand with, was it joy?
That is lovely.
Thank you.
Just lovely. So I think I want to ask you, you know how when you've had a great dance with someone, you get off the dance floor and you think, that was an amazing dance we just had. The music, the rhythm. I don't care if you're not a dancer, Leo.
He is.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about. When you, that just incredible dance. And so I think I want to ask how you feel getting off the dance floor with this book here. What was it like? How do you feel? What is your takeaway
from
this
actually,
dance?
This book probably meant more to me than the other books I put out because it was an effort beyond myself.
Mm.
The other books I put out are stuff that I did before, so therefore it's just redoing the old same old photographs. But this was something totally different and new, and it's going out to a different market as well, mm-hmm. to a poetry market as well, a literary market as well as a photography market.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was a challenge, but it was a good one.
It was a good one. He's got a smile on his face. And how about you, Liz?
Well, I think probably my initial reaction once we sent it off to the publisher was not all that poetic. It was something like, thank God this is over.
You're tired. You're tired getting off that dance floor.
Well, but when I saw the final product, I was just swept away because Leo did a beautiful job with the graphics, and it came out really nicely. And the feedback I've gotten is that it's beautiful, and I don't really have objectivity on it, so I'm probably still critical of, why did I say this and why didn't I do this and why didn't I do that? But I do think it's a beautiful book, if I do say so.
Well, I think you don't have to be objective. I think people are hearing that sense in your voices of there's a joy there. There is a joy.
Definitely.
You are definitely saying that was a pleasure and that you both learned something and were transformed in some ways.
Oh, yes.
And,
we learned about each other, too. I learned what an image person is as opposed to a word person.
That's right. But and it became something else, too.
Mm-hmm.
As we said, they don't have to be right in step. You're doing harmony. It's a true duet. If you find yourself fascinated by what you've heard and the beautiful words that Liz has been reading, you can find that in Duet, Poet and Photographer, poetry by Elizabeth Burke, photographs by Leo Touchet. You can find more information at Leo's website, leotouchet.com, or the Yellow Flag Press, which just published this book as well. Thank you both for your work, for your dance, for helping to make our lives here all the richer, for helping us to see images and moments and think about stories in a way we might not have before. So we appreciate your partnership in all of its fullness. Thank you both
it's
so much.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you, Judith.
This is Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Le passeport pour le jazz moderne avec Djalma Garnier. Le meilleur jazz de l'Europe, l'Angleterre, les États-Unis, France et... bien sûr, Louisiane. Le passeport pour le jazz moderne avec Djalma Garnier. Ici, sur 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lac Charles.
That's Passport to Modern Jazz, Tuesday nights at 10, right here on KRVS.